Permet via, permet mister, I think don't care, stay long by your play, and I am glad, Lord, grant my feet on higher ground, I want to stay.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Psalm 143 and verse 10 says, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." I believe that those of us who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we need to be praying that prayer daily, asking God to teach us to do His will. Why? Because He is our God, and His Spirit is good, according to Psalm 143 and verse 10. And then we need to say, "Lead me into the land of uprightness. Help me, Lord, to do the things that's right. Lead and guide me into the land of uprightness." And when we're led into that land and we're doing the upright things that God has given us to do as saved people, then the people around us, they're going to take notice, and then we become a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, notice with me once again now as we look in the book of Ephesians. Now, we're in chapter 4, and we left off with verse 21. And we looked at that, and as we think about this, verse 21 of Ephesians chapter 4 is leading up to verse 22, where it says that ye have put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And that's Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. Well, what question and answer do we find in the Bible concerning sin and being freed from it? Now, that verse is talking about the corruption of the old man, deceitful lusts, and all of this. Well, where do we find the answer? In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, the Bible says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Now, Paul the Apostle is writing this, and as he's writing this, I believe there are those people around who said, "Well, we're saved, we can do what we want." And of course, that's true. Once you're saved, you can do whatever you want to. But you see, we do a lot of things in the flesh. In other words, we don't listen to God, and we don't live according to God's plan. And some of these people, they thought back then that the more they sinned, the more grace would abound towards them. God has never-ending supply of grace. I mean, it's by grace through faith that we're saved. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God that we have eternal life. But some people think they can, the more they sin, the more grace God's going to send. Well, that's not the case. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7 again says, and verse 1 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin." Now, we need to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, according to the Word of God. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be sinless perfected. In other words, that we're never going to sin again in this body. That doesn't mean that. That means that we need to live as close as we can to the Lord. Don't look around. Don't look for sin. Don't purposely get into sin. Don't try to do the things that are wrong, but yet try to avoid those things. And you'll find, and you've probably already found this in your Christian life, that sin is all around. But this is what these people looked at back in Paul's time. It's where sin abounded, there did grace much more abound. But consider this, we're not to sin so that more grace abounds. That simply means there's enough grace to save anyone. There's enough grace to keep us saved. We don't have to worry about keeping our salvation because God keeps us. He is the one who has given us salvation. We did not earn salvation. God gave us salvation through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. And by the way, His Son is the only begotten Son of God who gave His life for us. And He's alive today. He's with the Father in heaven. And He's there, Jesus is there, making intercession for us, the saints of God, while we're here. He's praying for us. When something comes into our lives, a sin, and we do sin, Jesus Christ prays for us. He's making intercession for us. And we need to go to Him daily, constantly, and say, "Oh Lord, help me not to do the things that are wrong. Help me to be a witness for You, that other people would see You in me, that I am not You, Lord, but help them to understand that You loved me so much that You gave Your life for me and You're alive today. I have eternal life." And help them to see that they can have the same thing, that they can have salvation forever. Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 7 says again, it's not teaching us sinless perfection as we live on this earth. What Romans 6 and 6 through 7 that we've already read is teaching is that we who have trusted Christ as Savior are freed from the penalty of sin. The penalty for our sin has been paid for in full by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Romans chapter 6, verses 21 through 23 says, "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." Verse 22 goes on to say, "But now being made free from sin," and that means the penalty of sin, being free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. And the end, everlasting life, that's what we look forward to, an everlasting life. This old body's going to die, but the real person within me, that person is never going to die. Verse 23 of Romans chapter 6 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Jesus Christ paid the wages of sin for me on the cross of Calvary. He paid for me. He bought me with His blood on the cross of Calvary. The wages of sin took my Savior to the cross. My wages, my earning, the sin that I committed in this life, Jesus Christ has paid for. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is something that you and I need to get ingrained within us, that Jesus Christ did it all. He paid for us. He owns us. And we need to be serving Him daily with everything that we've got. You say, you might be asking, well, does that mean you serve Him constantly, every day, every breath, every moment of your life? Well, sad to say, I'm still a human being. And there are times when I need to draw closer to Him. I need to say, "Oh, Lord, forgive me for not serving You more. Lord, forgive me for things that are wrong in my life. Help me, Lord, to overcome those things that are keeping me from serving You more in this life." We all need encouragement. Jesus Christ wants to encourage us today that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him. No man is saved but by Jesus Christ, and no person is kept saved other than through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that should cheer us, each one up, who know Him as Lord and Savior. Now notice this, that ye put off concerning the former conversation. That's what that verse is saying there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. It says that ye put off concerning the former conversation. Well, the word conversation here in this verse, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22, it means conduct. This is what is commonly is meant in the Bible. And Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8 says, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Now, later on in Ephesians, we're going to look at more about this word lie and as we study Ephesians chapter 4. But notice also in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God," there's that word grace again, "but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation," in other words, our behavior, our conduct, "in this world and more abundantly to you ward." In other words, we behaved ourselves, Paul said. And that's what every Christian is supposed to do. Our conduct is to be as one who is saved and is representing Jesus Christ in this earth, on this earth. And in this verse, 2 Corinthians 1:12, Paul seems to be saying here that he and those who were laboring with him had a clear conscience because they lived not by fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God. The life of Paul and other laborers was shown by their living in simplicity and godly sincerity. It seems that those in the Corinthian church to whom he was testifying had more of an opportunity to view the life of Paul. They saw him and the others who labored with him. They recognized who they were. They knew they were men and women of God. And the church at Corinth was a visible witness of Paul's manner of life. In other words, these people knew Paul. They knew how he lived. They knew that he lived for his Savior. And those who were around Paul, those who served with him, they did the same thing. They lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. That was their conduct. That was their witness. That verse, once again, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation. Don't act like you used to when you were unsaved. We're saved. We're on our way to heaven. And things have changed in our lives, and our conduct is not to be like it was when we were unsaved. Well, which is correct according to the deceitful lust? Now, we've read that about the deceitful lust. Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust? The meaning is that the church, that ye, in that verse, is to put off that which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Let me read that again. I may have misquoted that, the last part of that verse. Which is corrupt, not correct, but which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Well, notice the term deceitful lust. The unrenewed man is not under the direction of reason and sound sense, but is controlled by his passions and desires. The word lust in Ephesians 4:22, our text right now, has a more limited meaning to us. We now, more or less, confine the word lusts to one class of sensual appetites. But the word as found in our text actually refers to any passion or anything that entangles the heart. And it may include greed, ambition, the love of pleasure, or of gratification in any way. And the meaning here is that the heart is, by nature, under the control of such desires. Now, lust, those passions, are deceitful. You may be having a difficult time today with things in your life, Christian, that has crept in there. Things that you really don't want to do. And the Bible teaches us that when we have those things creep into our lives and we find ourselves wrestling with these things, we need to go to God and say, "Oh God, give me the strength to withstand these things, the onslaughts of the devil, the onslaughts of the old flesh. Help me to overcome that. Lord, I give it to you. I thank you for saving my soul. And one day I want to thank you personally for giving me eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.